Money Show. Make Money Mondays.
Graham Patterson is the Chief Operating Officer at Edcon. You may remember him from a previous life at Walmart. Well, sorry, at Massmart, which was he oversaw the acquisition of a controlling stake in Massmart, of course, by Walmart. And he's in the studio with us this evening to talk about money, to talk about his money and his attitude towards money. You start the new job 1st of February next year. That's when you officially become CEO.
That's right, Bruce. Hello and good evening. I'm busy getting my feet under the desk there and figuring my way around the credit fashion industry.
The credit fashion industry. And it's an industry that's under huge pressure. And Edcon, in its own right, has got its challenges. I mean, massive debt burdens. The banks then swap their debt for equity. And it's now, Edcon is owned by the banks, right?
When you say the banks, I think that conjures up FNB and Standard Bank and the likes, and it's not them. It's foreign debt providers of the Irish Stock Exchange have ended up with most of the equity in a couple of the institutions. So it's mostly foreign-owned at the moment. It's doing okay. I think if the economy was operating at a normal level, we'd be fine. I think the restructuring was a good one. But the economy is putting us under more pressure.
I mean, you like problems. You like difficult things. You like challenges. You like to arrive at the office and never quite know which way the wind's going to be blowing. You are different that way.
I don't deliberately do that. I want to live in joke.
He has a job. How difficult is it? Yeah, very difficult. Yeah, I'll take it. That's what you do, isn't it?
Well, yes. You know, I was unemployed. I run large retail complex retailers. That's what I'm good at. There's only two in Joburg. There's Massmart and Edcon, and so I got asked to do the other one.
Okay. And so you started in June. You say you're finding your way around the business, you know, where the coffee machine is, and you officially take over on the 1st of February. Is it bigger than you feared? Is it more interesting than you'd hoped? What is it?
No, in fact, the more I'm there, the more I realize that perhaps some of the interest in the company over its debt burden is distracting from what underlying all of that is quite a good business. I mean, it's been hurt by the decisions made over the last 10 years, starting with selling it and trying to do a leveraged buyout on a credit fashion retailer, which should never have been done. But actually, underlying it, it's a good business. You know, it's a Jet and Edgar's and CNA and Red Square. It's got good brands. It's got good people. It just needs some money and some tender loving care.
And you're the guy, are you?
Not known for my tender love and care, but I'll at least make sure I recruit some people who are good at that.
Tough love, perhaps, is sometimes required as well. Now, listen, tell me, I mean, you didn't grow up poor. Many of our guests grew up and mum was a domestic worker and dad didn't have a job or dad wasn't around. I mean, how did you grow up?
No, you're exactly right. I didn't grow up poor. I'm the son of a teacher, and my mother was a teacher, but my father was a professional engineer, and he traveled around southern Africa with the mining industry, and I ended up being born in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, and growing up in a very small town called in Zvishivani in Matabeleland. And he was a successful leader, ended up managing director, CEO of that company. So I grew up in private schools and was fortunate enough to end up on a scholarship paid for by Anglo-American to Cape Town UCT. I had every privilege available to one.
I mean, and that sort of set you on a path. You actually studied to be an electrical engineer. I mean, if there was a job for you and you like problems, it could be Eskom. I mean, it's that kind of, potentially that kind of job.
Yeah, well, I applied for that job, but yes, exactly. Yeah, I got into the final rounds, but the whole process came to grinding halt.
You may have been rotated by then, because that's what they do at Eskom. They rotate CEOs. They don't replace. They rotate. Everyone gets a turn. Maybe your turn will come.
Yes, maybe there was a blessing there.
Huh? And when was that?
It was several months ago, so maybe maybe March, April. You know, they were recruiting after, and then the Friday of the near final interview, got a call saying the interview had been cancelled, and that evening they announced the reappointment of Brian Malefi.
That one, okay. Sorry, so it's quite hard to keep up. So at least, I mean, hey, you were up against Brian.
You're going to lose that one.
No, exactly. No, there was no way that you were going to win that. But imagine the pension you could have got.
Yeah, exactly.
Brilliant. huge. And you wouldn't have had to stay very long either. You could have retired at, I don't know, 50, and you're not even there yet. It could have been so good. Sorry you lost out on that one.
What could have been?
What could have been? Was your mom a feisty budget controller? Because if Dad was traveling a lot, and mining engineers, by the nature of the industry in which he was in, and I'm assuming he was a mining engineer, he would have been very mobile. He would have been all over the place, although you were based in one place for much of your childhood.
Yeah, I would say both of them. My father has passed. He's the descendant of missionaries, who tend to be tight budgeted people. And my mother was the daughter of a shirt maker in the Joburg CBD. So we grew up. I mean, you know, on reflection, there was no money to be limited. I didn't know that as a child, though.
Good Calvinist upbringing, then. Missionary.
Yes,
upbringing.
Exactly. Exactly. It clearly flowed through the genes. I never wanted for anything, but I don't remember there being lots of money around at all.
Now, and did you get pocket money? Were you taught about the principles of budgeting and stuff at all as a youngster?
From 10 or 11 years old, I was at boarding school at a private boarding school, Falcon College, up in Zimbabwe.
Very famous
and,
school,
yeah. Yeah, and they, you know, there was a pocket money system there. I think it was $10 a term. And there was no temptation to spend any money. It was at a boarding school. You could go to the tuck shop and buy chips and Coke, and that was about it. And then in the holidays, sure, I remember getting some money. But Zimbabwe, there wasn't a lot to spend it on.
Even then,
yeah.
did you do odd jobs in your holidays and things? Were you encouraged to do some work?
I worked every holiday at something, you know, whether it be going for training courses at whatever company my father was working at. And certainly through university, I worked every holiday. I was on a bursary, so it was compulsory.
So you had to go to Anglo's and go to what?
Orkney, Cartonville, Volcom.
All the cool places.
All the cool places, yeah. So I was working as an appy. I used to get into my overalls, and I was taught to be a fitter and a turner and work underground.
I mean, but that stuff, I mean, I'm sure it still happens, but that must have been, as much as it might not have measured up to your intellectual level of stimulus that you might like, it would have been bloomin' good training as to what the job was all about.
Well, you know, if I reflect back to then, all I ever wanted to be was the engineering manager of a mine. I didn't have any other ambition. And so this was all great training for me. I loved it. I love being practical. I've always doing DIY if I can. So this was on track for my career as engineering manager of a mine somewhere in the Free State.
Shame. What a pity you've not realized your ambitions. when you then went to UCT, you studied electrical engineering, you worked in your holidays, you then went into retail. How on earth did that happen? Because you ended up, you started working for Mark Lamberti at MassMart as his personal assistant. I mean, in the sort of Anglo-American frame of things, that's the sort of makes you a potential heir apparent to the boss one day, which it transpired happened.
Yeah, I got very fortunate. I was plucked out of the mines, not by my own ambition at all, by the way, by my engineering manager, whose name is Ian Menzies. And he said to me, hey, there's, you know, better things in your career. He sent me up to Joburg, joined Anglo. I hung around with names you would have spoken to and known over the years, Julian Ogilvie-Thompson, Leslie Boyd, Clem Santa. They were all my first mentors. Philip Baum, and then Anglo elitism had died by that stage, or was starting to die, and so they shut down that program, which was a pretty elitist program. And so I went looking for a job, and I didn't have to leave, but I thought it was a good idea to leave if elitism was out. And I tried to get a job in IT, and I missed, and got retail,
which it served you well.
Yes, but you know, with no foresight, when I joined MassMart, it made a loss in the year before I joined it, and was an unknown
company. So you
company.
Fixed MassMart. That's pretty good.
Well, I certainly didn't. But
Edcon's got high hopes for you. Yes,
I attached myself to the guy who did, and that proved a clever strategy.
What year was that?
1998, I joined MassMart.
Okay, 1998. It's just that's just in the emerging markets crisis is hitting. It's just before we get the rand going from 7 to the pound to 11 to the pound almost overnight. It was a tricky time to be joining a big importer.
Yeah, but I didn't know any of that. My job was to carry his bag around, help him write the strategy, prepare the company for listing. I must say, I wasn't at all interested really in business in those days. I was just interested in doing a good job. I mean, if you look back at my history, I'm a trained employee. You know, there's not 1 second of my life that I ever think of becoming anything else other than an employee of a company and doing whatever job they gave me at the time.
But that's evolved. I mean, you went beyond doing a job. I mean, the role of bringing Walmart on board and integrating MassMart into Walmart was more than just doing a job, though.
No, actually, I would argue that it isn't. I'm a professional manager. You know, the bulk of economic activity in the world are in companies owned by institutions. And there are jobs, big jobs that you can earn a good salary. And if you get it right on the share scheme, you could make a lot of money. It's another way of making some money. It certainly wasn't my plan, by the way, but that's probably the easiest way to make some money. I think the entrepreneurs have to take big risks and business owners, you know, have to go through hard times. Probably the easiest way to do it is become an employee, do very, very work hard, you know, do a good job at whatever you're doing on and get promoted to the top. You'll make some money that way.
Yeah, that wasn't your plan. Your plan was to be the engineer in a Free State mine. I'm so sorry that your life hasn't worked out the way that you'd hoped it would.
I think engineering managers on mines are probably paid quite well.
No, they might be. But I'm not sure that they got the MassMart share options in the year after a big loss.
And I'm told house prices and rentals are lower in Volcom.
They most certainly are. And available as well.
Yeah.
Grant Patterson is the incoming Chief Executive Officer at Edcon, a job that he took on after losing out to Brian Molefe as the future Chief Executive of Eskom. How different it could have all been. Aren't you glad you didn't get that job in retrospect? Or was that a problem you would have relished, cleaning up that cesspit?
No, I would have relished it. I am relieved I didn't get it. But I remember sitting there one Sunday reading a newspaper or listening to the news, being, you know, when this process was announced, it was actually an advert in the newspaper. And I said, I absolutely can't sit here, as I was unemployed, and hear about, you know, some guy getting the job and them saying, well, no one else applied. And that's why I did it. I enjoyed the process. It was fun.
Grant Patterson, we'll talk more in just a moment about money, his attitude towards money, and what he does with it.
The Money Show. Make Money Mondays.
Grant Patterson is incoming Chief Executive at Edcon, currently Chief Operating Officer. He'll start in the CEO's job on the 1st of February. What age did you make your first investment? I mean, you wanted to be a manager and you wanted to be a professional manager. Have you always relied on the company pension scheme, or did you start dabbling and investing and playing stock markets, buying unit trusts? What did you do?
I right in the beginning, at about the time I joined MassMart, I'd made my first bonus, which I'd earned in a firm that was consulting into the mining industry, and I along with some mates started an investment club, and we started, you know, buying and selling stocks, trying to learn what that was about. But it was all very, very small money. I certainly joined the company pension scheme, and the first real money I ever made was out of the MassMart share scheme.
When investment clubs, do you encourage people to start investment clubs, to participate in investment clubs? You've got, you know, kids that must be coming toward investment club age, potentially. Would you encourage them?
Absolutely. I think it's very important. You know, we live generally in total ignorance, you know, and unless you're looking up and looking around, you're never going to see any opportunities. So an investment club forces you to watch the stock prices, learn how it works, read the company annual reports, have discussions with people. And I think otherwise, you know, the world's passing us by.
Mm. And what's been your best money decision when it comes to growing personal wealth, other than working very hard and getting bonuses and paychecks?
To tell you the truth, I can't think of a really good investment decision. I was privileged in that I was surrounded by advice about how to do this. You know, I'd been mixing with people who had made money, very wealthy people, wealthy global people as well as local people, and everyone said to me, "While you're a professional manager, get someone else to manage your money." And so I left that investment club quite early on, and then every cent I've ever saved or earned has gone off right in the beginning into proper structured tax advised investments with an investment manager.
So you use an investment manager. You have an individual. Is it the same individual? Do you swap individuals? Do you have teams of individuals, squads of individuals?
And, one company, two people over the last 15 years have looked after me, and you know they haven't done spectacularly well. I've never made any money out of investments.
They've been told, if they're listening, you've been told you've not done spectacularly well.
I won't mention their names. when you've made some money in the process and the method that I have, it's mostly, you know, the real money was made out of getting the Massmart share price from a listing price of R12.50 to selling it to Walmart at $148 bucks. That's how you make the money. Thereafter, it's about capital protection. I'm not really trying to, take risks and make a lot of money.
You're not in this job because you have to, put bread on the table and pay school fees.
No, of course, not at all. I'm 46.
You dig it, because
I've worked out, I went out for 3 years. I started doing some investments, which I still have. I unfortunately made some investments about a month before Nennygate. So I've spent the rest of my time trying to get back to where I was just before that, which was a bit annoying. I've worked out where I am. I'm a really good employee of running complex, large South African and African organizations. I remember meeting someone who said, look, that's what you're good at. Just do that and you'll be fine.
Have you ever made any great money decisions, lucky or otherwise, a great property or a great stock pick or whatever?
Yeah, by error, I won't tell the story. I got into buying houses in Dainfern.
Buying houses in Dainfern.
Well, exactly. Buying houses in Dainfern and renting them to corporate companies for the expat community. Now, I mean, I'd learnt about that because when Walmart bought Massmart, we bought some expats out and Massmart started hiring houses for these people. And that's, it's hard renting a house out to a private individual. You can get lucky. You can get unlucky. But when you're renting it to a global multinational, they're going to pay good rentals and they're going to fix the house up when it's finished. And that's probably, and it was by mistake, my best investment.
I'm told you like to give money away.
No, I don't like giving money away, but I do it.
But you don't like to talk about it. But and I don't expect you to go into deep detail. But you're not known to be ungenerous.
I'm a person, and I lecture people often on this. So I apologize to the listeners. I try to keep perspective. We are enormously. Well, I am enormously lucky. My mind does every day when I'm driving to work realize there are people out there who really struggle day to day, and I'm not one of them. And so, at some point, you got to give some back. So I've helped some young people start up businesses. Not very successfully, but nevertheless, I've helped them. And I've also sent a bunch to university. So that's, and probably not going to do any more giving money to young people who want to start up businesses. But I'll carry on giving money to help young people pay for university.
I mean, and is that just a hiding to nothing? I mean, you do better. There's a better return. And I've talked, return is a virtual thing, not a real thing, in terms of getting people educated and set up for careers rather than starting up the spas or whatever it might be.
Yeah, I haven't actually figured out what I got wrong in giving young people money to start up businesses. It's probably there's a natural selection that people who are really good at this don't go around asking for money.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's possibly true. I mean, are you looking forward to having the corner office, the big plush corner office, the personal assistant of your own? Are you going to do that? Are you going to carry forward that legacy into Edcon?
Just in case she's listening, I've kept my personal assistant for the last 20 years.
And she's wonderful.
And I wouldn't go anywhere without her, so she's fantastic. So I've always had the personal assistant.
Right. She asked, I should check, yes.
Okay. I'm really enjoying myself. It's It's challenging. This is a challenging environment, but I'm really enjoying myself. It's fun to be useful again and perhaps doing something I know something about. You know, it's hard. I had 3 hard years of doing things which I wasn't very good at and didn't know much about. It's quite fun to be actually know what's going on.
Well, welcome back to the corporate world. Grant Patterson, the Edcon Chief Operating Officer, who tried a couple of things and now is back in, he will be in the driving seat from the 1st of February 2018 as the new Chief Executive Officer of Edcon, where he will be plying the lessons of the last 20 years in corporate.